Welcome to the Life is Relationships podcast, where we share biblical truths about marriage, parenting, and discipleship. The desire of CTCI is to see individuals and families restored in their relationship to the Father and for them to be empowered to have thriving, godly relationships that impact the communities around them. Hey everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Life is Relationships podcast. Today we have Casey and Erica Wilson joining us. Hey guys, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, AJ.
Thank you, AJ.
So today we're going to be talking about something that's very, very deeply special and personal to you guys. And, but first we kind of want to start off with how did you guys, first meet, as we haven't particularly heard your specific story as of yet.
When did we meet? 2003.
Yes.
Ooh, we're old. That's almost 20 years ago, man.
Yes. I was, riding in a 15 passenger van on my way down to Mexico. I was a part of a college youth group, and we were going to Mexico to help out a little church down there. I had never met Erica. We were part of a very large college group at the time, and there she was sitting. She was actually in between, in a 15-passenger van, there's a driver,
and a lot of passenger,
and then there's that, it is, there's that floor spot, and she was sitting there.
Don't tell the world that I was sitting illegally in a 15-passenger
van. No seatbelt on, and her little Cal State sweatshirt and sweatpants, and I looked at her and thought, there's my wife.
Okay, so the short story is we met in college group, and he was extremely handsome. I was extremely wealthy. No, I'm just kidding. I had a job and a car. And then we became the Wilson Bunch. Yeah, so.
No, we did. About three years after we met, we got married. And so our story, in short, if you know us, Eric and I, our hearts have always been for ministry, and that means for people. If you're in God's kingdom and you're involved in ministry, it means you have to develop a love for people. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. And so we had to learn how to love people, and at times that meant, you know, opening up our couch or our bedroom or even building rooms onto our home and allowing men and young women and families or people that were in need to come and live with us or stay with us. And discipleship was really, really hands-on at different parts in our life.
Mm-hmm. We've been able to spend a lot of years doing youth ministry, college ministry, young adult ministry, high school ministry, and, you know, being the young couple. I mean, I like to say I'm young.
You look young.
A little older than you, Casey. But, you know, not having children of our own, we were able to just throw our lives in 100%, 150%, and just be crazy and young and stay up late with all these people, you know. But, you know, maybe 13 years, we always, during that entire time, we always trusted the Lord for children in his time.
Yeah, I don't think, just to be transparent, I don't think we ever prevented, even from the beginning, tried to prevent children.
This is a lot of information to be shared publicly.
Well, I mean, this is just... But that was never our intention.
Right. It was always waiting on the Lord in his timing.
Right. And children didn't come. And even after a year, two, 3 years, you still have this... There's a natural hope that, wait a minute, it's normal to have children, so the normal things of life will work for us. Mm-hmm. And about 7, 8, 9, 10 years into it, you start to realize, wait a minute, this... I mean, I don't want to go down that road, but the amount of prayer, the amount of fasting, different things, people that prayed for us, different, just all that went into it. I mean, we were not passive in wanting God to heal and make way for children, but it never came naturally. And it did not come through through us being able to get pregnant and have children.
Yeah. And real quick, as we're diving into, I think people have picked up on we're venturing into down the road of adoption and fostering and things like that. And we really wanted to have this conversation, especially as a follow-up to last week's episode about abortion and what it looks like for us as believers to walk in being there for these children and these mothers and these families in these situations where they need somebody else to come in and be a part of taking care of these children, and not in a savior complex way, but in a, we are called to care for these children because of whatever their circumstance is, needs us as believers to come alongside them.
Sure. Right. And so for us, the topic of adoption first came out probably now 13 years into our marriage, where we had not had any natural children. And, you know, we always kind of have left it with a hand open saying, well, God, if you want us to have children, you'll just make it happen. Or if we're supposed to adopt something, we'll just fall into our laps and it will just open, the door just open for us. But
that never happened. But what did happen is through the reading of Scripture, and it was not just one, but it was a number, just truly beginning to stop and pause and humble myself and look at the story of God and the nature of God and realizing that God is not passive in the pursuit of his children, that he pursues, that he goes after, that he's the one that adopts, that he's the one that chases us down, that he's the one that chooses us. And so as you begin to realize that, you realize, I realized as a man how much I had to repent from my own passivity, and I needed to stand up and act. If I was a godly man married to a godly woman and we had the means to have a good home, that it was our responsibility to start being a part of the story of adoption.
Right. You know, Jesus said, I only do what the Father's doing. And God in his nature is a father. Yeah. And he's an active father and he's a pursuing father. And he adopts, and that's who he is. And so seeing the Father as he truly is convinced us we need to take action. And so we started pursuing, you know, adoption through different organizations and everything. And I have to tell you, it was so cost prohibitive. I mean, not to say that the Lord couldn't provide. He can, you know, but at that time we were looking into international adoption, right, and local adoption, and it was like $50,000, $30,000. And but the more we prayed, the more we talked, the more we realized that we really needed to get in. We just felt led. I mean, let's just be honest.
Right. And not to say that was a bad route. Like if you have the means and the provision or the conviction.
Do it.
Go that route.
Yeah.
Because there are some bumpy roads with foster care. Yeah. It's a long journey. There's no guarantees for adoption. It's not, you know. But this is just where God was leading us. And we had to trust his providence and his plan to get us to this point in our life.
Right. And so he convinced us that we really need to get involved in DSS, state-run foster care.
Yeah, local.
Local. And so we never had even a vision to be involved as foster parents, but we just had an understanding of God's nature, who he is, what he's like. He loves the widow and the orphan. He says that's true religion. So we just said, okay, Lord, we're just going to follow you where you lead.
Yeah,
that's incredible, guys. And as I said in that episode with Erica and Alicia, it really is. I have the utmost respect, and it's just incredibly honoring to know and be friends with people like you who have really walked this out. And so it's just, I applaud you guys because I know that it's not easy.
Well, we appreciate that. But I just want to say from the beginning of this, I mean, Eric and I have only been in this journey for about 3 years now. Mm-hmm. In comparison to other families, we are in our infancy. We're new youth.
Yeah,
we're youngsters in this. I mean, we do have 6 children now, so I think we've gone deep.
But we
still have so much to learn, and there's families that have given so much more than us.
Right.
And for those that have gone ahead of us, thank you, because you truly inspired us.
Right.
The countless stories that we heard about families that went into adoption or foster care or that have done this for 20, 30 years, like, thank you so much. Yeah. You have encouraged us.
Great cloud of witnesses.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. And glory to the Father too, because honestly, this wasn't birthed by us.
No,
this
not
was
at
birthed
all.
In us. And this is nothing we would have done of ourselves in the natural, because it's stinking hard, people.
Yeah, and it was a crucifying of my own selfish pursuits.
Right.
I mean, Eric and I were living a very enjoyable life by all means. We were healthy. We were happy. We were young.
Adventure.
It was just her and I. We could live and go anywhere we wanted in the world. We could travel. We've moved multiple times. You know, we were working in ministry. We were working with youth. We were able to do all of that. And yet there was a burden that we felt. A longing, and I think it was God's burden on us because it was a gift that we would actually not just have spiritual children and be a part of things in that regard, but that we would get to have our own children in our home and hopefully real, real, real soon adoption. So that's part of our story.
It's really inspiring to have watched you guys walk through a lot of this stuff. And Casey, you were talking about just as you dove into the word regarding fatherhood and these kinds of things. What are some of the scriptures that drove the two of you forward in this area of growing your family?
Sure. Here, I'll just read a few. I have a list of a number of them in front of me, and I'll just read a few. Matthew 19, Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me." He never turned them away. He always said, "Come," right? Proverbs 17:6, "Children are a crown to the aged." Okay, so as we grow, that they're a crown to the aged. That's pretty awesome, right? That's your glory. Okay, that's your crown. Okay. Third John, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. I long for that day. I want to see our children that we have in the home in our future when they age, as they grow up, that they would become men and women that walk in the truth and transform their neighborhoods. I want that to be a part of my legacy. I could read scriptures all day long, because the Bible, here's the thing that you need to get. If I could just speak, just pick up the Bible and start reading, and you're going to see a story of a perfectly father who is rescuing rebellious children, broken homes, broken people, broken world, lost in chaos. And yet he's the great hand of redemption that steps in. Mm-hmm. He's the rescuer. That's the grand narrative. Mm-hmm. And so I could just not get around it. You can't escape it. And if you are a Christian, you cannot escape that our God is a redeemer. He's a rescuer. And so there should be in every Christian this urge, this longing to get involved with discipleship, disciple making. That should be through spiritual children, through people that you encounter in life and work, through whatever. But also, even further, if you have the means, if you have a home, if you have a family that's healthy and strong, Christian, please hear me, get involved with foster care and adoption. It's in your nature. It's in the nature of God, the Spirit of God that dwells in you, to be a part of redemption.
Right. It should be in the DNA of the church, because we are a church underneath a perfect and amazing Father. Right. And he has created family, and he gives us the family structure that is intrinsic to the development of a human person, and meets all of our needs and grows us relationally and makes us, you know, have abundant life. And he created fatherhood. You know, he is the father from which all fatherhood is created.
Yeah.
He is the originator of family. And so the Christian family has so much to offer a world in such need of redemption. And there's so many ways to be involved. Like, if you can't foster, you can totally come alongside foster families. I cannot tell you how amazing the body of Christ has been in our lives and in the lives of our children. Mm-hmm. They're not foster parents, but they have held up our hands, you know, like, you know, Miriam and...
Moses?
Well, Miriam and what's the brother? Aaron. Oh. They have held up our hands like Miriam and Aaron held up Moses' hands.
Gotcha.
You can be a support. You can be a guardian ad litem. What an amazing opportunity. Yeah. They have literally people who become the advocates for these foster children, where you just represent them in court. You hear their story. You watch their life. You talk to them. You meet with them. You look at the family they're placed with. You look at the family they're going to be put back with. And, like, you stand in court for the child. It's an incredible calling and opportunity to serve. Becoming a caseworker with the Department of Social Services. Becoming just an advocate in any way. There are so many ways to get involved. And I would just urge you to seek the Father's heart, to pray and bring it before the Father and ask, Lord, how can I do what you're doing in my context, with what I have?
Yeah. And just this kind of a side tangent, but if you think about Old Testament law, right, there was a part of it where if a husband died and a woman was widowed, that it was the responsibility of the family, the nearest brother, to step in and marry that woman and take care of her and her family. And so for us, when we look at where we live and what we're a part of, I just think it's a part of the responsibility of the churches in your county, in your city, in your area, wherever you live, that if there are orphans and widows, pure and undefiled religion is this, right, in the eyes of the Lord, to take care of the orphans and the widows. That is our responsibility. We need to stop looking at it as, should we do this? Should we be a part of this? How do I feel about this? And we should just say, you know what? This is one of the responsibilities that God has given to us. And there's a blessing in it.
Amen.
There's a great grand blessing in it. And when we get over those emotions and fears and we dive in and we just say, yes, we'll do this, there's a reward for us. There's a crown for us because children are a crown to the age. And so a plethora of scriptural, you know, support for this.
Yeah. I mean, Casey, you found some statistics and you shared with me earlier, and we've just freaked out about like the adoption of humans. And anyway, go ahead.
So here's the thing, church, and this is why it's so important that you get involved. Christian, listen to me. Okay. In America today, there's roughly 130,000 adoptions that take place in America. Okay.
Every year. Right. Okay.
When you look at every year, how many animals are adopted, cats, dogs, animals that are adopted, it's over 3 million, AJ. So if you want to talk about priorities and why things are so messed up, it's because we do not prioritize or value the children anymore. We have, think about those numbers, 22-1 adoption of animals over children every single year in America. And so those are the values. That's the worldview that we live in. And so if you want to fix that, look, just run the facts. Youth suicide, 63% fatherless, 90% of homeless and runaway youth fatherless, 71% of high school dropouts fatherless, 70% of juveniles fatherless, 75% of those with substance abuse fatherless, 75% of those that are the ones that cause rapes or a part of rapes in our culture, fatherless. And so if you want to help with gun violence, if you want to help with drugs, if you want to help with rape and abortion, if you want to get involved in this, it means that we have to start with adopting our youth. Mm-hmm. AJ, it might be right for me to say that the most dangerous thing in the world today is a fatherless child. An unloved fatherless child. Wow. Might be the most dangerous thing in the world. And yet we don't take responsibility for that like we should. And when you look at DSS, which is the largest provider of foster care in our country, okay, when you look at a system like that, the thing that they need more than anything else is for Christian families to go and get involved. Why? Because Christian families should, if you're obeying God and walking in if you're walking out the Christian life, there should be a mommy and a daddy and a home that's striving to become good and godly, to follow after him. We are the right applicants for the foster care system because we believe in what they need. If you think about what a broken child needs, just think about this. All that a broken child needs. I know kids go into the system and they get medicated and they get counselors and they get all these things. They get all, you know, clothes are shipped and money shipped and all these things. But what do they really need? A mom and a dad and a home.
Security, because love, unconditional
exactly.
love.
Exactly. Where do you get your identity? Where do you get your protection? Where do you get your provision? Where do you get your love? It's from your home. And so if we can step in and become the homes, the families for these children, I think that we would get in front of and we would start to be the answer to so many issues.
Amen to that.
There's one other verse I want to mention, and Erica, feel free to chime in. Most of us have heard this verse. It comes out of Psalm 127. Okay, there's five verses in Psalm 127. Verse 3 says, "Behold, children are a heritage to the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward." We all know that. We've heard that verse, right? Even if you go farther, it says that children are like an arrow in the hand of a mighty warrior, the children of one's youth. And so you picture this dad, and he's a warrior, and he's going out to battle. Well, what's the weapon that he has in his hand? It's his children. How do you change a culture? How do you change the culture? It's by raising virtuous children. That's how you provide virtue in your culture, right? And so it goes forward, and it talks about this, and it says, "Blessed is the man that fills his quiver." I want you to hear this. "Blessed is the man that fills his quiver with them," them being the children. And so we all need to be asking ourselves, what are we filling our quiver with? Like Eric and I had to ask ourselves, what are we filling our quiver with? What are we filling our time with? Like, what are we building? What is the investment that we're making? What is actually not going to get burnt up when Jesus comes back and this world is made new? What's going to stand? What's the gold? It's relationships.
It's people.
And so we had to make a real change in our life, like huge changes. It's cost us everything, and it's been totally worth it. Huge changes so that way we could raise children. And we were young and youthful and immature, and we had to learn that consequence. And so just in that same five verses, this is so important. Everyone knows verse one, unless the Lord builds the house, he labors in vain. But do we ever connect those two? There's only five verses. The first two are about the Lord building a house. And if we don't build our homes in the Lord, we labor in vain. And then the rest is about children.
Wow.
And so I would say that God is trying to tell us, people, Christians, like the building of your home involves making and raising children. It's not just about putting up walls and a roof and having good times and laughter and fun and going on the sweetest vacations every year and enjoying like all the just a great life, managing my money perfectly. No, that's not it.
Mm-hmm. Having toys.
The raising of children is a hard work. It's messy, right? Like I walk in my bathroom and there's Pokemon cards on the counter.
Those are for some reason. Those are confiscated.
They are. All the children's toothbrushes are now in my cabinet. Why? I don't know. I don't know why I have to use children's toothpaste at night. I'm not sure right
now. Because one of them hogs the bathroom in the morning and they hide extra toothbrushes in our bathroom so that they can brush.
But it is. But I look at those scriptures and I just say, thank you, Lord, because I know I'm building my home mm-hmm. in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And through his grace and through his strength, I hope and pray that in our future, we will have a crown filled with children that will be part of our inheritance and part of our legacy. And they will be a blessing. They will walk in truth. Mm-hmm. They will walk in truth and make culture better around them.
Because he is building a kingdom and he is redeeming the culture.
Amen.
And we are his hands and feet.
That's what he does.
That is incredible. Thank you both so much for your passion and your heart and just being a part of raising these children and being a part of the solution to this fatherless generation that we have. So thank you both. And if you're a listener and you have questions and you don't have anyone else to talk to about this particular topic, about starting the process of fostering or adoption or anything like that, and you want to connect with Casey and Erica, feel free to shoot an email to podcast@ctcilife.org and we will get you connected so that they can... They're willing to talk to you about anything and everything related to this, from children's toothbrushes and Pokemon cards in the bathroom to just the practical nitty-gritty details of beginning the process of working with DSS and things like that.
Mm-hmm. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to encourage you and share with you any resources we have. So
awesome. Well, thank you guys so much.
Sure. Thanks, AJ.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next one, and we would love if you left us a review. For more information about CTCI and our upcoming programs, be sure to check out ctcilife.org. This podcast is a production of Christian Training Center International, and it is produced by AJ Selby and Seth Stradling.